Welcome to the People Planet Prosperity Podcast, produced by Canada Action and YCR. Today we are joined by Ryan Barrett from the PEI Potato Board. Welcome, Ryan.
Hi, Sean.
So to start, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do?
So I'm the research and agronomy specialist with the Prince Edward Island Potato Board. And in that role, I work with potato producers, as well as lots of other industry stakeholders and industry partners on on-farm research and trying to improve our marketable yields of potatoes here in PEI in a myriad of different ways, while also factoring in economic and environmental sustainability. So we're really focusing on projects that are a win-win. They're projects that increase yields and make producers more money, but at the same time are improving our industry's environmental sustainability, whether that be through improved soil health or reduced greenhouse gas emissions or improvements to water quality or any of those sorts of things. So we've got a big stable of projects that we work on every year with lots of different people, lots of different organizations. As I said, we work with individual growers, we work with researchers, private and public, universities, Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, our provincial Department of Agriculture, watershed groups. Especially, we have some watershed groups that are very keen and interested in working with producers on on-farm projects. So we do a lot of that. You know, we do research and trials and demos and things. But then another really big part of our job is sort of that knowledge transfer piece. So especially in the wintertime, here when, you know, there's nothing growing in PEI and most things are covered by snow, we're really focused on getting this information out to the producers. So we're doing producer workshops and guest speakers and conferences and, email updates and all the sorts of things, you know, that we can do to pass that information back to the producer.
Okay. Thank you for that introduction there. So I want to dive into a couple of things you mentioned there, but to start off, I definitely grew up on the West Coast hearing about PEI potatoes, but I spoke to some the other day and they were a little surprised when I mentioned that PEI was known for their potatoes. So could you go a little bit into that? Why is PEI so well renowned for the potatoes they produce?
Well, I think we have a long history growing potatoes. We've been growing potatoes commercially in PEI for more than two centuries. And so we probably have as long of a history in growing spuds as anywhere in Canada. And the industry really took off here because we, in no small part to our soil is very good for potatoes. You need sandy soil, well-drained soil, loose soil with adequate rainfall, for potato production. And you don't want it too hot either. Like you don't want it too hot. You don't want it too cold. Having a winter to break those disease cycles, is good. Like PEI is just is a great place for potato production. And so it has been for a long time. Now we can, you know, there's other places like Alberta and Manitoba that are maybe catching up and surpassing us on acreage because they have the ability to irrigate and maybe control more of those sort of things. But the history of production of potatoes in PEI is long just because, you know, it's been a good place to grow potatoes. Then also, I think we've had a lot of, you know, leadership in our industry over a long period of time, a lot of work collectively through organizations like the Potato Board and others to market PEI potatoes, especially, and to sort of build that brand. And we did some branding work and some brand recognition work a few years ago. And we found that like 95% of people in Canada were familiar with PEI potatoes. So we have a fairly strong recognition, particularly in Ontario and Quebec and the Northeast United States, places where PEI potatoes are pretty common. We do have PEI potatoes that make it to BC and make it to other places, but not as much just because of the distance required. But, you know, we do have faithful customers in retail out in British Columbia and Alberta and other places as well.
Well, it's interesting what you said about the sandy soil. I know I've tried to grow potatoes here in Alberta, and they certainly were not as successful as some of the stuff I see at the grocery store. So you mentioned the PEI Potato Board, and obviously you work there. Could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
So we're a producer or association of potato growers. So we have about 175 potato growers in PEI, and the board kind of acts as their collective voice. So whether that's in advocacy for the industry, marketing, research, contract negotiations, working with the government on various programs, we're the collective voice for the industry. So that's the main thing that we do. And of course, that encompasses lots of different tasks and lots of different projects every year. And so we have a staff of about 12 or 13 people that are working year round on all those various projects and initiatives. Then we our actual board of directors. We have a board of directors of 12 potato farmers. So everybody on our board of directors is a farmer, and they're helping us to like set the direction and oversee what we do as a staff for the betterment of the industry. And then, of course, we work with all sorts of other organizations, both locally and federally and internationally, to advocate on behalf of Prince Rhode Island potatoes.
Okay. So as our listeners will know, we always love to find out like the personal story behind why someone's involved in the initiative. And so I'd love to know what brought you into working in the potato industry.
Well, I grew up on a farm here in PEI. When I was a kid, there was a lot more farms on the island that were what we call mixed farms. So they're usually a mix of crops and livestock. And I think over time, a lot of those farms have become more specialized in one thing or another. So when I was a kid, we grew potatoes. We grew 50 or 60 acres of potatoes alongside having dairy cows and having beef cows and doing some other crops and that sort of thing. Now, my home farm, my family's farm, we've specialized more in dairy production. But I kind of maintained that link and that connection from my, from being a kid to the potato industry. And then I did my university in Truro, Nova Scotia, and then I did a master's up at Guelph in Ontario. Worked in the dairy industry for about 7 or 8 years and enjoyed that, but wanted to move back to PEI. Sort of missed the island and wanted to move back to PEI, and I had the opportunity to work for the potato board, initially more in communications than anything else, communications and maybe research coordination, because I had a master's in agriculture, and they were, thought, oh yeah, he might be good at doing some, research coordination and stuff like that. And then just slowly that, grew into a larger role, more in agronomy and in research. So it's been a kind of an evolving position. I've been here for about 12 years now, and it's kind of grown as I've gone along.
It's neat though, the personal history you have with that industry. And I mean, even going back to how the potato industry in PEI, as you said, is around 2 centuries old, that continuity, it's really cool to see that in that industry. I'm curious, you mentioned something about how when you were growing up, a lot of the farms were, I believe you said, like mixed farms. So they grew a variety of different products. And nowadays we're seeing more of a specialization. What prompted that transition?
The transition from sort of specialization of agriculture, that's kind of happened. I'd say that's happened in most of Canadian agriculture, like maybe at different ways in different times in different provinces. But, going way back in our history, the majority of our population were farmers in some way, whether that was having a couple of cows and a few chickens to maybe being something a little bit more. But I just think as more and more people have, are not in the agriculture industry, and as we've, agriculture has become probably more specialized in terms of the ways we grow, different crops, the ways we raise animals. I just think it's been a natural progression for agriculture to become more specialized and more like, doing it in a more science-based way and access to new technologies. And often there's economies of scale there as well. Like, for if you're going to get a new combine, you have to grow enough acres to make the payments on the new combine. And that makes life a lot easier, but it does mean, you usually having to grow that that base of it. It's no different in potatoes. Potatoes are a very specialized crop, right? Because, if I just grew corn and soybeans and wheat, I could use the same planter and the same combine to harvest all three of those crops. But if I grow potatoes, I need a completely separate machine to plant and another completely separate machine to harvest those potatoes. And I can't really use those machines for any other crop. So when you're growing potatoes, you know, if you're going to justify a lot of that additional capital, let alone you have to have potato storages to store your potatoes, and those are, you know, climate controlled and different, you know, than other crop storages. You know, your other types of equipment and sprayers and everything else, it's a capital intensive business. And potatoes, they are a high value crop. So, you know, the potential returns on an acre of potato are much higher than other crops. They're also very expensive. We estimate it costs about $5,000 an acre to grow a crop of potatoes. So with factoring in everything, all the expenses in the mix, compared with, you know, a lot of your other crops that you grow in other, you know, corn and soybeans and some of those other things, it may be only a tenth of that. It may only be $500 an acre. So we definitely do have some higher expenses in potatoes, but there is the opportunity for higher returns. So I think that's what has attracted a certain amount of people to kind of stay in the industry and continue to improve their farms and specialize. And also here in PEI, we're a long ways from the marketplace in a lot of cases. Like, there's only about 180,000 people live in PEI. You know, that's only a moderate sized city in a lot of other places. And in the whole Maritimes, there's less than 2 million people. So a lot of our potatoes go to Ontario and the United States and the Caribbean and other places. And that's, you can justify that more on a specialty crop and on a crop that, you know, a staple crop like potatoes. Things like, you know, again, the commodity crops like wheat and barley and corn and things like that, to compete when you have to ship all those, you know, commodities to Ontario or Quebec or somewhere else or the West, we lose our advantage and we lose a lot of the profit just in the transportation and our distance from the market. So that's why, you know, agriculture and PEI, it's very dominated by value added type of products like potatoes, like dairy, like beef, you know, fruit crops, apples, blueberries, things like that.
Interesting. So I am curious then, with like this topic of specialization, does that, and there's obviously a lot of pros and that makes sense given the what you described, does there also some risks that come from that when we consider like changing market conditions or environmental factors when your primary source of income comes from one agricultural product?
Yeah, there is some risk to that. And there are also risk mitigation options in that too. So, you know, most of our growers carry crop insurance. So if, you know, if there's we have a really bad year and the crops are poor and that sort of thing, most growers have crop insurance to help with that. They may also have other risk mitigation type programs available from the federal government. And they have that as part of their, farm enterprise. But also that is part of the reason why we exist as a potato board, as a producer organization, to help try and identify those options for risk or those, you know, challenges, potential challenges, and find ways to mitigate them. So that's why, you know, we as a board, we negotiate potato contracts for processing with the major processors of potatoes. So out here, it's people like Cavendish Farms and McCain Foods and Frito-Lay, PepsiCo. And so then all the growers have the same contract, and it's fair for everybody and it's negotiated together and hopefully everybody's coming out ahead. So that's one role, just one of the roles that we do as a board. But we also, you know, we work with the government trying to find, you know, are there opportunities that, you know, farms can become more efficient, that farms can, say, adapt new technology. Maybe those new technologies enable them to be more efficient with labor, or they help to reduce costs in some other way that, again, takes some of the risk out. All agriculture is a risky proposition. You know, like you're really dependent on the weather and on conditions and the marketplace and that sort of thing, and things can really change in a heartbeat. And so we just try and identify where we can't eliminate all risk. There's no chance of that. But how do we minimize the risk? And then how do we look for the other opportunities? And then most of our growers, they grow potatoes, but they also grow other crops. So Potatoes are generally grown in a 3 or 4 year rotation here. So, you know, the other 2 or 3 years in rotation, they're growing other crops. They're growing wheat or barley or soybeans or corn or other things. And then hopefully they're also deriving income from those crops.
Interesting. Okay. Quite fascinating about the that collective aspect. I want to shift a bit to talking about the producers here. And you mentioned, obviously, there's a number of, there was a, what was it, 175 producers?
Yep.
In PEI? So for that 175, is there a diversity in terms of like size of these farms?
Oh, yeah.
Like, are there smaller scale producers? Are we talking a mix of family farms, more industrial operations?
Yeah, I would say that almost all of our farms are family farms.
Okay.
They're almost entirely, I can only think of maybe one or two that aren't really true family farms. But those family farms range in size from growing 50 acres of potatoes to 2,000 acres of potatoes. So, and it just depends on, you know, maybe how much of their family is involved and what other crops they're growing and maybe whether they've specialized in certain things. So, you know, we have people that, you know, they grow 50 to 100 acres of potatoes primarily for seed production because we are in potatoes. We have to grow potatoes from potatoes to maintain our varieties and to maintain sort of those same varieties over time. We don't grow them from, you know, seed the way you would corn or wheat. So we're actually, you know, you grow potatoes, you take those potatoes and cut them and put them in the ground and they grow another potato plant. And so to do that, seed potato production, it's very specialized, and to keep them disease free and virus free, and it takes extra work and extra steps. So a lot of our seed producers don't grow as many acres, but they are really focused on quality and really focused on like maintaining that sort of disease-free status and that sort of thing. So some of our smaller producers are those seed producers, or maybe some of the people that are growing fresh potatoes for the, you know, for roadside stands or farmers markets, those sorts of things. So they may be some of our smaller producers. Then, you know, we have lots in the middle and of all different sizes and all different markets. And then we have, you know, some of our bigger family farms, maybe extended families or people that, you know, multiple families that have sort of worked together to make a bigger farm. So I can think of a few farms where, you know, it's actually 3 or 4 different families that all had their own individual farms, and they said, oh, it makes more sense for us to kind of share resources and share things. And so they've kind of gone together as a joint venture. And we see that a little bit more on the last few years as well. But of course, it depends on, you know, what we're growing for. Potatoes are not just all potatoes. So there's potatoes for processing, potatoes that make the best French fries or that make the best potato chips. They're grown maybe grown a little differently than the potatoes that are grown for that go to the grocery store. We've had a big increase the last number of years on the little like mini potatoes, like baby potatoes and stuff. You see a lot more of those in the grocery store, and they're grown a little bit differently again. So there's lots of diversity, I would say, in our farms and in the types of potatoes they grow.
Okay. And I would imagine, as with a lot of farming operations, there's probably a number of these that go back several generations.
Yeah, we have a lady in our office just started here now, and her in the last couple of weeks, and her husband is a potato grower, and I think they're the 8th or 9th generation of potato farmers on their farm, and they're one of the oldest potato farmers in probably in Canada, definitely in PEI. So we have lots of farms that are multi-generation. My family farm at home is a 4th generation farm. And I would say that's pretty common in a lot of our farm operations, but we do have some folks that are more new to the farm. You know, we've got some first generation potato farmers as well. So there's definitely diversity there too.
That's really cool to see that. We spoke last week with an individual from the Canadian Pork Council, and they talked about the importance of preserving rural Canada, which slightly different context in that regards, but it just reminds me of the fact that there is this really cool institution and longstanding institution of potato growing in PEI, and it's neat how it's lasted so long, and it's also seems like quite a treasure that Canada needs to preserve that as well.
And I think it's not just about preservation, Sean. Like, We're a big revenue generator for the province. So agriculture is the number one industry in PEI. So we are an agricultural province, and we export most of our food that we produce outside of the province. So we feed millions of people in the rest of Canada. We feed millions of people in the US and in other countries. We ship potatoes to multiple countries around the world. So it's not, you know, we definitely want to maintain a vibrant rural economy and vibrant rural communities. And I think the Potato Board, you know, takes pride in generating that wealth and helping to generate some of that economic activity in our rural communities. But we, you know, especially here in PEI, you know, our economy kind of thrives or declines based on the how the agriculture industry does. So I think, you know, we're pretty in tune to that. We know that our industry, like just the potato industry, is worth more than $1 billion to the provincial economy here. So we're pretty cognizant of that fact and you know, want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be putting money back into our communities.
That's fascinating. And that's cool how essential that is and just the value. I want to jump on something you said, talk about like millions of people are fed by these products. So evidently then like PEI's place in the food system is critical for food security, you'd say.
Yeah. Like, as I said, we grow about 25 million hundredweight of potatoes a year. So 25 million hundredweight is about 2.5 billion pounds of potatoes that we grow every year. And we, as I said, we only have about 180,000 people in PEI. So we produce, you know, way more potatoes than we would ever need in PEI. And that's why we supply all over Canada and the US and lots of other countries. And, you know, without PEI potatoes, you know, there'd be a big hole in the marketplace, right? And so, you know, it's not just a business, but we are feeding people, and we take that pretty seriously too.
So in some other individuals I've spoken to and other material as well, a variety of agriculture industries are facing like a demographic shift, especially like an aging population of producers. Is that a similar situation being witnessed in PEI?
Yeah, I think pretty much all of Canadian agriculture is facing that. There's fewer young people that are attracted to careers in agriculture. We have to take that on as a challenge, I think, as agriculture, to drive more interest in agriculture as a career. I think for a long time, maybe people that grew up on farms, they saw how hard their parents had to work to make a living. And some of them said, oh, that's not for me. And unless I had a real drive to be a farmer, unless that was just, you know, core to my happiness, a lot of people decided not to go in that direction. And even myself, I grew up on a farm, but I don't work on the farm every day. But I have a career in agriculture. And I work with farmers, for farmers, helping them to solve their problems, helping them to come ahead. And I think we're going to see more and more of that in agriculture is, yes, we need more farmers and we need more people that are willing to be, you know, full-time farmers. But we also need more people working maybe in professional careers in agriculture too. Because as farms get larger, and as these, you know, farms maybe get older and they're more reliant on hired managers and that sort of stuff, and maybe managers that aren't part of their own family, you need to have people that you can trust. You need to have people that have those skills. And so right now, there's never been a better time for people to become, you know, interested in working in agriculture. And no matter what your interest is, if your interest is in economics, marketing, you know, programming, precision ag, engineering, any of those sorts of things, there's loads of jobs in agriculture for all those specialties. We definitely need agronomists and people that know the biology and science of growing. You know, we need managers, we need HR professionals. So right now there's a, you know, as I said, as our farms get larger, they need a, you know, a more diverse team too to keep track of everything. One or two people can't keep track of everything on the farm. I think we're seeing farm staffs get more diverse and more, you know, more multi-capable in terms of managing multiple things. And, you know, we definitely need more new people working in agriculture. But I know we have a lot of farms, you know, I talked to some farms and agriculture and PEI is a lot of parts of Canada. It's very seasonal work, right? So we only grow potatoes from May till October, you know, and we have some time getting ready and some time after harvest, but there's a lot of time in the winter that, you know, we don't need our full staff, and we may not even need our full staff all summer. So work sometimes gets to be a little bit more seasonal. And some of that seasonal staff that the growers are pulling on are, you know, folks in their 60s and 70s that are doing this as a retirement project or like some their spare time job or something like that. And we're going to rapidly run out of a lot of those people, you know, just as they get older and they're not being replaced, and, you know, people that aren't working seasonally and that sort of thing. So that's why not only do we need more people, but we also need to find ways to do things maybe in a more efficient way or with new technology that cuts down on man hours, but enables us to still get the job done, that sort of thing.
So at YCR, we obviously have a big interest in getting young Canadians interested in Canada's resources industries, whatever they may be. So I'm curious then, what would you want to see done in order to get young people interested in agriculture and in particular, this particular form of agriculture?
Well, I think it's essential that we start early with our, you know, kids in junior high and high school and expose them to agriculture. You know, working on a farm isn't just, you know, getting your hands dirty or, you know, milking cows or, you know, out in the field digging or something like that. Like and it's not even just driving a tractor. There's so much more to agriculture. And I think we need to show the breadth of opportunities for people and kind of show them what are the opportunities in agriculture and where does that mesh with your interests. So as I said before, like, we don't need just farmers. We need farmers, and we need people that are willing to be, you know, that's their calling and that's their interest. But we do need people that, you know, can be biologists that support farmers and engineers and, HR people and counselors and, you know, all sorts of different, you know, careers. There's so many different careers in ag right now, and we don't have enough people for any of them. So I think if people are interested in that, you know, get out to some farms. Get out to some of the farm trade shows that are happening across Canada all winter long. That's a great opportunity to kind of see all of the different industries that support agriculture. You know, like our potato expo is going to be here at the end of February here in PEI. And, you know, if I walk down the booths, there's the people that sell the agriculture equipment. There's people that sell fertilizers and other crop inputs. There's people that like the banking and financial institutions. There's people selling agronomy advice. Like, there's all sorts of different companies and industries that support ag, and they all need people as well. So I heard not very long ago, I think the Ontario Agriculture College did a little study, and they said that there was 4 jobs available for every graduate that they had from OAC. And I imagine that number's only increased since that happened, because we have a rapidly, you know, aging workforce, and we're going to see a lot of people retiring in the next 5 or 6 years in agriculture. So I think there's definitely lots of opportunities.
Okay, definitely a good time to get into it then. So as we're talking about young people, another topic that young people often find important these days, especially, is the issue of sustainability and the environmental impact of a variety of practices, but in particular farming. So with the PEI potato industry, how has that sustainability and environmental track record improved over time, and where is it headed?
Well, I think here in PEI, we're probably as far ahead of the curve on sustainability practices as anywhere in North America. We have both legislated things that make us, I think, more sustainable, but then all the voluntary practices that farmers are doing as well that are associated with sustainability. And what we've seen is actually a lot of those more sustainable practices or things that we can do to make agriculture more sustainable are also associated with better incomes and better yields. So here with the potato board in particular, we've been really focused on projects that enable growers to invest in their soil and improve soil health and soil organic matter, because we know that healthier soil will be more resilient to a changing climate and like periods of drought or periods of too much rain or, you know, periods of heat stress, all those sorts of things. You know, one way that we can mitigate that is through healthier soils with more higher organic matter, you know, better soil structure, less compaction, those sorts of things. So we've been putting a lot into research projects as well as sort of advocating for best management practices along those lines. And just in the last few years, like we do a little survey every fall of our growers, kind of following up on that, like what sort of management practices are you doing and what's been the adoption rate on some of those sort of things. And just in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a more than 50% growth in the use of cover crops before potatoes. It used to be a lot of times land would just get plowed in the fall and then it'd be left bare on the winter and it'd be more susceptible to erosion and things. And now we're seeing, you know, a lot more of those fields are now being planted with a cover crop that keeps that soil covered, keeps it less vulnerable to erosion. And then they can plant potatoes into that crop next year, knowing that they're planting into, you know, hopefully healthier long-term soil, so and fields that are better set up for both short-term and long-term, you know, sustainability. But we've been doing a lot on, you know, improving and improving our fertilizer use and making it more efficient. There's been a lot of growers here moving towards the use of slow release or high efficiency for nitrogen fertilizers. So that, you know, enables them to cut the total nitrogen that they use, but still delivering the same nitrogen to the plant. So that's, again, it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win for the farmer, but it's also a win for the environment. So we've definitely seen an increased adoption of those types of practices for our practices and things that are associated with, you know, greater sustainability. Here in PEI, you know, we're an agricultural province, though we don't have a big population. We're also not a big province, and we have the highest population density in Canada. And so we're like literally farming in people's backyards. You know, we're not just growing potatoes out 20 miles where nobody lives. It's we're farming it right behind subdivisions and stuff. So it's important for us to have good relations with the neighbors, ensuring that we're, you know, farming in a, you know, conscientious and sustainable way. And so I think we take that very seriously as producers here in PEI.
That's an interesting kind of picture you painted there of farming right behind subdivisions. And this might not be an issue at all, but do you ever find that, or is there some thought that there's a bit of a squeeze on agricultural land by increasing populations?
Yeah, that's been actually a very hot button issue here in PEI the last few years, is we are seeing a disappearance of agricultural land with growing, you know, mostly to housing, because we also have a housing shortage in PEI as well. We've had a fairly fast growth in our population in the last 10 years. There's more and more demand for housing. Where are we going to put those houses? Well, you know, there's a really big push for housing density here, but historically, housing in PEI hasn't necessarily grown up. It's usually grown across, and it's been more spread out. And so that does put a pinch on agricultural land. And often, unfortunately, often the first place they want to put houses is not on the poor land, it's on the good land. So we definitely have seen land lost to subdivisions and housing and commercial development in the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. And so we're working with our PEI Federation of Agriculture on that file, as well as with the provincial government. Our provincial government is supposed to be working on a land use strategy to help try and come up with a plan around keeping farmland in agriculture. But that's a bit of a work in progress, but it is definitely a present challenge.
Okay. Well, this next question, it might be a continuation of that or perhaps something else, but what would you say are going forward some of the challenges facing the industry, and what would you like to see done to address those?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that we talked about was labor. I think if I talk to most of my farmers today, and what's your biggest challenge? The biggest challenge is around human resources. So it's about not having access to labor for themselves, not having access to sort of that specialized labor that we talked about. People are like, you know, the people that they work with, their industry partners, having access to the right number of people and people with the right skills. So that's a really big challenge that we're facing. Another one is climate change. You know, we're an island, and we're an island that our potato production is about 90% dependent on rainfall. We only about 10% of our acres are irrigated. So, you know, having it rain enough at the right time and not too much is, you know, seemingly getting harder and harder because, you know, the nature of climate change in PEI has been we're getting about the same amount of annual rainfall, but it's coming in big dumps at a time. It's coming in intensive rain events as opposed to a little bit here and there. And that way, that can be damaging to crops. It can be, you know, we're usually not able to use all the rainfall that does come. And then we're getting warmer conditions, and warmer conditions can be a challenge for a cool season crop like potatoes. But it also throws, you know, things like disease and pest management out of whack because, you know, with a warmer summer and a warmer spring, we probably get more generations of certain insects and we may have increased pressure from certain diseases. So, you know, just this past year, something that, you know, you wouldn't really think of, we almost had too much rain in parts of the island and at the wrong time. And while we still had a nice crop of potatoes and you know, more a better than average crop of potatoes, we had a lot of potatoes that had a condition called hollow heart, whereas you cut through the middle of them, there's a big gap in the middle. And the reason for that isn't pest or disease. It was too much rain at the wrong time and the potatoes grew too fast. And when they grew too fast, they get this little hollow center in them. So that's something that, you know, if you just look at a pickup of potato and you look at it and you're like, oh, this looks like a great potato. And then you can cut it in half and it has this hollow in the middle. And so it doesn't make that potato uneatable or anything, but it makes its pros as challenges, particularly for making French fries or making potato chips. So, like those are challenges that we see. We may not see them every year, but it's the unpredictability of climate change. That's, I think we already work in a risky, unpredictable industry, and climate change is making even more unpredictable. So trying to find ways to address that and take some of the, you know, take as much of the risk out of it as we can, try and find ways to mitigate those risks, I think is going to be a big challenge here for the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay. I have one last question for you then. So we have a listener, they've heard this, they're like, that's it, I'm interested. What are their next steps if they want to pursue a career in this field?
Well, if they're a younger person, so they're in high school or they're in university, I would say try and identify agricultural university programs or agricultural adjacent university programs that you think would be interesting. There's ag colleges all across Canada at many of the most reputable universities in Canada, Dalhousie, Laval, Guelph, U of Alberta, U of Manitoba, like, you know, almost every province has got a good agriculture university with agricultural programs. And I think that's a real option because I think that will set you up for a real potential to get a job in agriculture. But for someone who's already finished their university career and they're just looking for a career change, there's lots of opportunities besides that. So whether it's, you know, working on a farm or working with one of the supply companies or those sorts of things, like one area that we really see a big growth in is precision agriculture. Growing potatoes and growing crops in a much more site-specific way. So we need people that are experts in GIS and experts in programming and in machine learning and AI and all sorts of different things there, right? You know, so there's definitely lots of opportunities. I would just say kind of, you know, do your homework, keep an eye on the options available to you and, you know, with agricultural employers. Most provinces have an ag sector council or somebody that's responsible for promoting careers in agriculture. Reach out to them, see what opportunities exist. There's also the Canadian Agricultural Human Resources Council that also has lots of resources on this as well. So I think there's lots of opportunities for people to get involved.
Okay. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. To our listeners, once again, this was Ryan Barrett from the PEI Potato Board. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe and you can also check out our newsletter. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Sean.